Okay, now, this time last year, I realised I was only capable of sort of doing one thing between Christmas and New Year, which turned out to be an all-age talk in the morning of the Sunday, and so I didn't have anything prepared for the evening, so I just sort of repeated it in the evening. But people told me they actually quite enjoyed it. So this year, guess what? Once is an accident, twice is a habit. And this morning we were looking at these great verses from Hebrews chapter 12, and that's what we're going to do now. In all-age format, so please don't feel your intelligence is being insulted, but I will need some help up on the stage at various times, and the only thing I promise is that those who come up here won't have to say anything, so you don't have to be embarrassed or that sort of thing. It'll just be a case of holding things and helping me out in a few ways. Now, Hebrews 12 is about a race, it's about running a race, and it's a race which every Christian runs. And as we think about that, I need a sort of worked example, partly to act as a timekeeper, actually, to actually do a little bit of running for us. So hands up, someone who's happy to do a little bit of running tonight? Yes, Lucas, first one up. Okay, come on, give him a clap, give him a clap. Put that on, around your head.
Around my head.
Yeah, around your head.
Thank you.
Yeah. And okay. So, wrong sport. So what would be really helpful would be if you can go for a jog, and let's say if you can go and touch the gorilla outside, what's the ice cream shop? Rocking Gelato. So if you can just go and touch him and then come back and we'll see how you're getting on. And is that all right? So you just head out, get the timer going. Nice one. See you. Thanks very much. Okay. Now, while Lucas is doing that, I've got a question for you. And the question is, this is for everyone. Take 10 seconds to turn to the person next to you to work out what's the furthest you've ever run. The furthest. Yes, go back in years. Go back in years to your youth. What's the furthest distance you ever had to run? Okay. 10 seconds. Talk to the person next to you. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. To the newly engaged Alistair Prosser. What's the furthest you run, Alistair?
I don't actually remember the distance, but it was about three laps around QE2 when I was about...
Three laps. Impressed? let's hear from someone else. Geoffrey, can you remember? What's the furthest you ever ran?
Probably Sydney to Surf.
Sydney to Surf. Is that 5K, 8K? That sort of thing? Let's hear it. John Deacon. What's the furthest?
A marathon.
A marathon. Yeah, yeah. Give it up for John Deacon, the full marathon. Is there anyone who's run further than a marathon? Whoa. I can't even get up here. Mark?
It's a 50K event in from Adelaide.
50K. Give him a clap. Now, 50K is a long way. This lady up on the screen, Katie Wright, is one of the world's best ultra-marathon runners. And she's feeling a bit puffed. she ran a couple of years ago, she ran the Riverhead ultra-marathon. And the loop you have to do is 6.4K, I think it is, maybe 6.5K. And you run it, and then you have to run it on the hour, each hour. So you run it, then you stop, which actually gets harder because your muscles sort of seize up. And then the next hour you start again. And after 30 hours, the second to last person dropped out, and she was the winner. So that got her entry into the Tennessee Ultra Marathon. Oh, yes. And she ran that, and she did really well. She ran for 48 hours, going round and round. She said at one point, similar length, 7K loop each hour, she said, against the heat, I felt I was on fire for most of day two. Then she fell asleep while she was running. Then she said, I woke up still running, but having drifted into the ditches at the side of the road, things were beginning to fall apart for me. She came fourth. She didn't even get a medal. Ran for 48 hours. Oh, and came fourth. Now, the Christian life is actually a race. But it's not a sprint. It's a long race. And it's a race that every Christian needs to run. And the verse that we had tells us a little bit about it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, put your hand in the air if you've been a Christian for 5 years. Hand in the air. Keep your hand in the air if you've been a Christian for 10 years. Keep your hand in the air if you've been a Christian for 20 years. Keep your hand in the air if you've been a Christian for 30 years. 35 years. 40 years. 50 years. Oh, back in. 55 years. There we are, round about there. Oh, no, Lyle Simmons. Yeah, still 55. 55 years. A clap. And the clap, Lyle, is both in admiration of your perseverance, but also God's grace to keep us going for that length of time. And it needs God's power to enable us to keep running. Now, the race that Christians run, as you can see there, has been marked out for us. So this is not a case of us just sort of pitching up to it. This is something that God has prepared. And I need someone to do a really simple job this time. Really simple. Can I just have a hand? Someone? Anyone? Quickly? Anyone? Thanks very much, Suresh. Could you just mark out a race, please? Well, you do that one, I'll do this one. Here we are. This is like the finishing line, you know how it is. And, they come in here. They come in here. And then, Zeresh, you just give me a hand here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Over there. There we are. Now, a bit taller. Yeah, like that, isn't it? Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Suresh. And here is the race marked out for us. And you begin the race when you put your faith in Jesus. And whether you're aged 5 or 50, 70, whatever age someone turns to Jesus and accepts Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, right, they're now running the race. They're now into it. And the race finishes when we meet Jesus, either because he returned or we died, whichever comes first. And we meet Christ and we fall over the line, probably collapse over the line, look up, and we see Jesus face to face. It'll be the most wonderful experience we've ever had. It's an experience beyond imagination. The Bible is a little bit almost short on details of what it will be like, I think, because language just can't do it justice. And so we're encouraged to look forward to that day, to long for that day, to really have our hearts set on that day. And, of course, we don't know exactly where along the race we are, but the key thing is to keep within the tram lines, to keep running the race, which means to keep following Jesus every step of the way. And when we get to that point, the only thing that will matter to us, the only thing that will matter is whether we actually finish the race. Everything else will seem completely unimportant. And the little empires that people built in this world, the number of countries that they traveled to, I was with someone this afternoon and I said, have you got any plans for 2023? He said, I'd love to travel. I said, oh, what sort of country? He reeled off 12 countries. Well, however many countries you visit, however big your asset base or whatever you achieve in life, if you don't actually finish the race and meet Jesus on friendly terms, everything else will have been futile, a waste of effort. So, there we are. We are running the race if we're followers of Christ. However, we're not on our own. You've got other people to run with, but there's also people to encourage us because, just go back a couple of slides, and back again. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, there are people to encourage us. Now, if you go forward a couple of slides to that, here we are, here's the race. Here's the race of which we're a part, except ours has got more people than that because there's more Christians than that, and it's going to go on longer than that because this will only last for a few hours, but this will last for the rest of our lives. Then go forward. Now, when we think of a great cloud of witnesses, we might think about people in a stadium, which wouldn't be completely inaccurate. But the thing about the people in the stadium is they're not the ones who are actually running the race. They're the ones eating chocolate and popcorn and, you know, drinking fizzy drink as they sit there and watch the athletes. The writer to the Hebrews is talking about a great cloud of witnesses who themselves have actually run the race. These are people who've gone before us, and it's as if they are cheering us on. Come on, you can do it. Don't give up now. Keep going. And, you know, as we sort of are on the cusp of making ridiculous decisions on earth, their shout is encouraging us, wanting us to persevere in following Jesus Christ. So instead of a massive stadium, maybe we're better of thinking of people like this. Now, these people here have got one thing in common. They were all martyred for their faith. They all died for following Jesus Christ at different times in history. Or if that's a little bit too hard to imagine, what about someone that you've known in life who themselves has lived as a Christian and died as a Christian? Here's a lady, Jean Logan, who was a member of Latimer Church and died last year within 2 days of her 100th birthday. Got to 99. She had a twin sister as well, Joan, both 99. And Jean didn't quite make it to 100. But the key thing is she made it to the end of the race. She was still following Jesus right at the end. And when we get to the end of our lives, that's the only thing that will matter to us. So if we're talking about an aim for 2023, how about as a modest starter for 10, saying, okay, here he is, Lucas. What's happened?
I've got a bit tied up.
Oh, that was the only joke.
It was the gorilla.
Okay. Come and have a stand over here. We'll sort Lucas out in just a moment. But the if we're after an aim for 2023, how about the aim being finishing 2023 as a Christian, still actively growing in our faith and still running the race? Okay. Now, in order for us to keep running, those verses say that we have to do a few things. Let's go back to the verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And Lucas, my friend, you are badly entangled. Could we have someone to help? Before I name someone, Lindsay, thank you very much. Give her a clap. Now, Lindsay, my friend, you come here, and if you can just untangle Lucas. I could see this could get worse before it gets better, if you know what I mean. Oh, no wonder you got problems up there. Okay, there we go. Now, Lindsay, having said you don't have to say anything, would you mind reading out one or two of these bits of paper?
Pride.
Pride, how about if I take the rope?
Lying.
Lying.
Anger. Rudeness. Lack of prayer. Unbelief of God.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. You can have a seat. Now, these here are sins. And the thing that strikes me from that verse is it says they're sins that so easily entangle. They so easily kind of slow us down. Because when you have sins that start as a one-off and then become a repeat and then grow into a habit and then turn into a character, you have sins that stop us from following Jesus. We're slowed up. And particularly when we know they're there and then we don't do anything about them. The Holy Spirit alerts us to them. Someone makes a comment and we realise, oh yeah, that is a bit of a problem for me. Pride, proud person. But then we don't repent of it and we don't seek to change. Maybe we're not brave enough to ask someone else, what would you like to see different in me? Is there something you'd like to see me change? Or could you pray for one thing? And all of these things here are so easy in the way they just sort of kind of creep in without us even realizing. What about this one? Lack of love. Lack of love for brothers and sisters. In other words, love for Christ's people. How do we show our love for Christ? By loving his people. It's hard to say you love Christ who you can't see if you don't love his people who you can see. You see? And you can say, oh, I don't do anything wrong in life. And have absolutely no love for the people of God. Or what about this one? More concern for our name than God's name. It can be quite subtle. You know, we're a little bit worried about what people think of us and how we come across and that type of thing. And actually, we're more worried about that than what they think about God, what they think about his name. And we don't even realize that's a thing. Greed. Greed can mean for food, but it can just mean sort of setting your eyes on something and wanting it, like being greedy for more of it. That could be food, could be money, could be the praise of other people, being a greedy person. Now, all of these things here, they easily entangle us. And one of the great privileges of being a Christian is actually to be liberated from them. Now, in this life, that's always a mixed battle. Like, we try and shed it off, and the devil is trying to sort of trip us up and make us fall down again. But nonetheless, with the help of God's grace and the help of his Spirit, we can be free, certainly from the consequences of them, and increasingly, actually, from the power of them. So let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And I wonder, if you could get rid of one sin dealt with, what would it be? Because we should be, if we're Christians, we should be able to name the sin. If we were asked, we should be able to name the sin that we want to get rid of. If we can't name it, it probably means we're not repenting of it. So what sin would you like to repent of? What would you like to get rid of this year? That's a great thing to pray for, that God would help you in that one area. Okay, that's half of it. But what about the first half? Oh, no, back. Thank you. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, our good friend Lucas here, he's no longer entangled, but he's definitely hindered. Imagine trying to run Mark's 50K carrying this load of nonsense. At which point, could we have someone else to come up here and give a hand? Anders. Thank you. Give him a clap. Now, Anders, we've got a few things to relieve Lucas of, including he looks like he's a courier man at the moment. Just take that parcel at the front, which says...
Lack of priorities.
Lack of priorities. Just hold it up for people. Lack of priorities. Now, these things here are not maybe sins as such, but they're certainly things that hinder us in the Christian life. Lack of priorities. In other words, if you're the sort of person who just says, oh, yeah, sure, you know, I'm easygoing, just accept the next thing that comes along, you don't distinguish what's more important from what's less important. And Christians should. We should think, no, this is really important. Maybe priority to say, actually, on Sundays in 2023, I'm going to get to church. That will be my priority, which might occasionally mean saying no to something else. You can't say yes to something without often saying no to something else. Okay, thank you. He's got a few other things there. Now, if you tack it from the front. No, you're supposed to be... let me hold it. Sorry, you did the... This is like Christmas Day in reverse. You get loads of bad things. Yeah, tell us your next present, Anders.
Lack of planning.
Lack of planning. Another hindrance in the Christian life. Because if you don't plan, then you'll miss out on some important things. Now, maybe this year you didn't know about the Equip Conference, so how could you have gone? You didn't know about it. But now you do know about it. How about planning for 2024 and saying, right, couldn't go this year, I'll definitely go next year. I'm going to plan for that. We'll make it happen. Or plan for something else important during the year. Thank you. Next one.
Too much screen time.
Oh, yes. In the unlikely event of too much screen time, that killer that stops us from doing good things because we're just, you know, scrolling round and round and surfing round and round and going on and on and on. And it's not helping us in the Christian life. And for some people, it's a big part of life. Is that you? Maybe that's something that needs addressing. Thank you. Next one. So many presents.
Misguided focus. So is this the same thing?
Mm.
Sport, gardening, pleasure, and food.
Misguided focus. So you can have things in life that are actually really good things. But when they become your focus, when that becomes the thing that actually excites you the most, the thing you're looking forward to the most important thing, even the good things then get used for ill. Sport. Are you the sort of person who wakes up in the morning and you're more excited about the sports results than you are about hearing from the Bible? Gardening. Is gardening your thing? Some aspect of pleasure? Or what about food? You can have things in life that are good things. Nothing wrong with any of these. They're all good things, good gifts from God. But when they become the focus, they're misguided. Okay, thank you. Oof. No, hang on a second, Anders. You're halfway. Yeah, maybe not in that one. I think you just have to deep sea dive up the top here.
Oh, yeah. Viewing Christian life as an individual race.
Okay, now, not a sin maybe, but a hindrance. Viewing the Christian life as an individual's race. Now, most races, in fact, are individual races. Occasionally you get ones that aren't, you know, they're sort of passing the baton or whatever they're doing, those relay things. But athletics races are individual. You know, you think back to your egg and spoon and whatever. But the Christian life, to view that as an individual race, disaster. It hinders us because we don't gain the encouragement of other people. And it hinders them because we don't put our arms around them to help one another. And God has put us in a community to help each other run the Christian life. Our aim, my aim, is for you to get to the end. Your aim is to help someone else this year get to the end. We're to help each other in the Christian life. Thank you very much. Next one.
Too much online shopping.
Too much online shopping. Enough said. Next one.
Too late to bed.
Okay, possibly a personal confession at this point, but too late to bed. Yes, a hindrance. Christians hoping to get to heaven will be in bed before 11. No. But nonetheless, if you repetitively stay up, you know, on and on and on, and then you can't get up in the morning, oh, I'll read the Bible later on, and then it never happens, and you push repeat 365 days of the year, you might begin to draw the conclusion, this is not helping me in the Christian life. It's actually hindering me. Anders, thank you very much. Give him a clap. Are you out? You've finished? And Lucas, don't go anywhere, because you, my friend, when you've done as well as you have, yeah, something you always wanted and never needed. There you go. Give him a clap. Now, what we've been told in the verse is we're running a race, we need to get to the end. That's the key thing, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. To do that, you've got to throw off sin that entangles. What's your one for 2023 to get rid of? And throw off the things that hinder you. Which one of these, or something else, is hindering you in the Christian life? How about picking one of them and praying for yourself that you'd be able to get on top of that and make a change in that area? But the verse also has something else. Ooh, there we are. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Get rid of the sin that entangles. Throw off that that's hindering us. But also positively, fix our eyes on Jesus. Because it's Jesus who will get us to the end. In the end, if you're in an athletics race or cross country or egg and spoon, and you're flailing and struggling, you're probably on your own. But in the Christian life, wonderfully, the Lord Jesus has the strength that we don't have, the strength to help us, to carry us, to push us, to pull us, to give us the energy that we need. Now, if you have a look at this rather lovely Christmas tree, here are some excellent reasons to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is God. If you keep your eyes fixed on God, God has the power that we don't have to get us to the end. He is the rock that can help us when the rest of life is going up and down and we don't know what 2023 will bring and it feels like life is very uncertain. He is the rock who never moves. He's the Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. That means he never leaves us. The Holy Child, Mighty God, Lord of all, Lamb of God. Now, that's an encouragement. In other words, when we trip and fall, he's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And if he takes away the sin of the world, that must mean your sin as well. His grace is always greater than our sins. His blood is always stronger than our failures. Christ of God, King of Kings, the Word of God, Alpha and Omega, Prince of Peace, Light of the World, Head of the Church, Son of the Highest, the Everlasting Father in the way he looks after us. He is the resurrection and the life. So, my friends, we are to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds fixed on Jesus and not to allow anything else to take us away from him. And if you keep your eyes fixed on him, you will certainly and surely reach the end of the race. On which note, one day we will get to the end. Here we are, the finish line. And on that day when finally we stumble forward and crash through the line, collapse on the floor, and look up and see the risen Lord Jesus Christ, we will know that it was all worth it. And I find it such an encouragement to think of believers who've gone before. For example, this man here, I don't know if you knew him, also a member of Latimer Church, who went to be with the Lord last year, Brian Shaw. And I asked his wife, Chris, if she'd mind me putting this up today. And she said that would be a great pleasure and an honour to Brian. And Brian was just a wonderful guy. He was a very humble guy, as Chris is as well. A lovely sense of humour. But he had a great interest in individuals. He had a great heart for people in this church. And he suffered a lot in those last 3 years with cancer. And he came to church 2 weeks before he died. And he walked out, and you could see he was in terrible pain at the end. But the point was that he made it to the end. And he's a shining example, as so many others are who've gone before us, of those who kept running to the end. He didn't deviate. He didn't fall off. When he fell down, he got back up and kept running the race. And so our aim this year is to keep running by the end of the year. Now, I'll tell you a thing. I get to see lists of people in church, and every so often I run through the list of who comes to Latimer Church, and I can tell you that the rate of attrition is frightening. Now, some of those people will have left to go to other churches. Fantastic. Some of them might be serving elsewhere. Brilliant. But some of them, likely as not, will have stopped following Jesus. Maybe they'll pick up at some point and get going again. What we want to make sure is that it's not us in this year ahead. But not only not us, we want to make sure, as in the last one here, that we help each other, that it's not the others here. And I really encourage you at the 7 o'clock to have a heart for other people. What we want to make sure is that every person gets to the end and there is no one left behind. So there's a verse to begin the year with. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you call us to join with the Lord Jesus Christ in putting our faith in you. And we thank you that you don't call on us to do anything that Jesus himself didn't do. We pray, therefore, and ask that you would fill us with your energy and power to be able to follow Jesus in this year ahead. And we do pray, Lord, that you would increase our love one for another, so we'd also have a great heart for each other in this. Please help us all to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.